off and running. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Okay, so this is episode number, I believe it's 8 of That's What She Said, in which I have a special guest, Morgan Day Sissel, who is a wondrous and loving human being and one of my favorite people on the planet. And she's going to talk to us about romance and adventure and pilgrimages and a little bit of spirituality. And I don't even know because we haven't had the conversation yet. But hello.
Hello. Hello, Kristen. You're one of my favorite people on the
planet. How are you? Thank you. Thank
I'm fabulous
you.
Right now.
We've established our mutual admiration society, and we are good to go.
No, truly, though, you are. I know this is like a traditional thing to say at the start of an interview, like how much you adore the person interviewing you, but in this case, it's very true. It's actually true. I adore you, and I thank you for all you have done for me and all you've taught me and encouraged me, so I'm really happy to be here.
So when I was coming up with questions, I was like, well, we could do like bio questions, but to me those aren't as interesting as kind of the deeper sorts of questions. So is that okay with you if we don't, I don't bio you, I don't ask where you were born and how many kids you had, how many dogs you had growing up?
Yeah, just go deep, just go right to it. Deep to the marrow of the bone.
I like it. So tell me, what would constitute a perfect day for you? It's kind of a good place to start.
Oh, gosh. Man, I have like 3 different scenarios for perfect days, one involving just me, one involving my family, and one involving just me and my husband. But I'll give you the perfect day for just me right now because I am here by myself without my family in Arizona on a farm, which yesterday was kind of the perfect day. I'll tell you what I did. I got up, and it was early, 5:30. I'm a morning person. I love being up with the sun. So I just roamed around with my headphones on and listened to some music, walked around the garden. Then I got some eggs from real chickens. I lifted up their bums, and I grabbed underneath them, and I got real eggs out of real chickens. It was fantastic. Yeah, and then I just hung out with my girlfriends. We're here together on a girls' trip, and we went hiking in the desert, which I love the desert. So that was wonderful. And then we ate an In-N-Out burger. And then the evening time, we did some foraging for some, yeah, that's like a word that's new to me, foraging, because we can just like go and pick things you can eat and things you can use. So we gathered some arugula and figs, and it's just like a dream, you know, like just eating. I'm from the city. I live in the city, so this is all, like, very novel to me. But it was really perfect. And then we ate on the patio underneath the stars and, like, a string of lights and just laughed and talked and did some yoga and did some writing, and then I went to bed. Oh, and I had a 2-hour nap yesterday, so that kind of was a perfect day. One of the best I've had in a long time. That's one version.
Ah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Very restorative, the restorative version of a perfect day.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good. So you talk about a lot about romance and adventure, and you also do yoga and a bunch of writing, and I noticed that those were in your perfect day. But when do you feel kind of closest to your purpose for being on the planet? Like, when are you like, oh, like the veil is thin right here. I think this is why I'm here. Tell me about that.
Definitely writing and teaching yoga. Like, when I get to encourage others to kind of draw them into, like, the light to which they are called to, like, then I feel like I'm closest to my calling. Like, when I can, like, dispel the myth that the lies that we all hear, that we're disqualified from the kind of life that we want, or for whatever reason, A, B, or C, like, we've messed it up, or we're totally, like, you know, disqualified from a beautiful life. I love calling into that space and saying, no, actually, you are more than qualified for the kind of life that you want and the kind of life you know deep down that you're made for. And whether that's, like, through yoga and just, like, helping people be restored to their whole person, body, mind, and spirit, like, feeling that that wholeness come back together again, where they feel very connected to the breath in their lungs and their place on the planet, and aligned with the best in them. I love doing that on the just in a physical way on the yoga mat. But then also when I'm writing and I get to like just speak from my story and just kind of like kind of the darkness and the places that I've been and what I used to believe about what I'm made for and what I deserve, and then now what I'm learning and healing and growing into, I feel like the stars are aligned. Yes, this is all good. This is what I'm supposed to. This is what I want to do forever. And traveling, you know, getting on a plane with people too. That always that always feels like yes, we need to be doing more of this too. And I'm on a plane with some girlfriends or my husband. I'm like, yep, this is it. Going somewhere and exploring something.
So I think because it's interesting, because I think we all have the terrible, horrible voices in our heads. What did yours used to say, and how did you kind of tame them, and what do they say now?
I think around 15, like, my voice started saying that I was shameful, that I was, if you ever read The Scarlet Letter in high school, I was that girl. Like, I wore The Scarlet Letter. And I think, just some really ugly things about, you're a whore. You are, just like really nasty stuff with me, to be honest with you.
All right.
You're a whore. You're despicable. You're unworthy. Like, you are worse than like the scum on the bottom of someone's shoe. Like, you're disposable. Like, just nasty stuff, you know? Your darkness. You are evil. Like, just really gets really bad. Like, really believing that there's something about me at the core that was bad, not fit for society, not fit for beautiful things.
That's just your general puberty.
I had a traumatic event. I was
okay.
And but that experience of being raped, I know that's not, unfortunately, a lot of people have that experience, but I think the worst part for me is that I didn't have a safe place to process that, and so all the feelings, I couldn't feel, like, I wasn't allowed to feel. I mean, you talk a lot about feeling the feelings, but at 15, I didn't have a good relationship with my mom, and I just was like, I owned it as, like, I was the temptress, it is my fault that this happened, and, it was something that I just had to take on. Like, shitty things happen to a lot of people, so just get on with it. And so there wasn't the space to talk about it. I just went on to antidepressants. Like, that was the quick fix. Like, yeah, you're depressed. You're withdrawing from the world. Like, we'll just get you on some Prozac and you'll feel better. So it took me 15 years. Like, when I was 30, I'm 35 now. When I turned 30, I had this just a kind of breakthrough in grieving what happened. And it was with a community of people that really gave me the space to grieve and be sad for what was lost and, like, what was put in that place. Because it was, there was something that was really, it marked me at that time. You live with some voices for 15 years and it becomes, like, just a rut. In the road, it's really easy to travel down that path, and like veering off that takes a lot of effort and momentum, and you just tend to like go back to the ruts in the road because that's what's been laid. So 5 years ago is when I started really learning how to like pave a new path in my own mind and my own soul, to start heading really in the direction that I was made for and believe it and not feel ashamed about it, because there was like so much double-mindedness I think we live with, because deep in our deepest part of our being, we know. We've always known what we're made for. We always known what the best of us is and what we have to offer to the world. But then shitty things happen, and then lies get introduced, and those lies are so loud that we hear them, and then we fight them, and then it's just like this ping-pong back and forth, and so much of our energy is just like that rodeo, right? Like, just like one day you feel like you know exactly what you're called to, and you have like this like, you're like, you're just living it. You see it so clearly, and you know you're going to get there. And then the next day something happens, and you doubt everything. You doubt who you are. You doubt what you're eating for breakfast. You doubt, you live with that, and how much energy is expended in that. And so I was like, F this. I'm spending way too much energy just doing that ping pong back and forth. I need to learn what it feels like to just to step into it and to own it, and like not in a fake way, but like in a really deep, profound, like aligned way. And of course, like I'm still on that journey too. Like I think there's so much, yeah, we're always on that journey, but where I'm at today compared to where I was at even just 5 years ago, it's remarkable. I'm a different person, and I'm more true. I'm more secure, and I, yeah, grounded, and able to spend more energy loving other people and less energy trying to convince myself, you know, what side of the team I'm on right then. It's the good side, the bad side, all of that.
Yeah. So tell me about, so what I know of you as your public persona is very positive, very beautiful, very like windswept on a beach doing yoga. Mm-hmm. And I don't think most people would guess that that comes from a place that's born of trauma and grieving and then the healing that comes after that. So how did it go from the sort of breakthrough in grieving like 5 years ago into stepping into this place of romance and adventure and really claiming that? Tell me a little bit about how that's gone, how that started, and where it's going.
Yeah. When I look back on my life, it's like so hard to see the moment where it started. It's kind of like you're always falling into this, right? You're falling into like what you're supposed to be doing. Romance and adventure, I can say, has been a theme in my life forever, even before I had the healing. And I just had a really unhealthy view of it. Just kind of like people like, you know, you love love and you want love and you just like have a really unhealthy like pattern of always choosing like the bad boyfriend, the one that like is totally abusive,
right,
or like emotionally. And so like I loved the idea of romance and adventure since I was like just a kid, just like loved stories, loved just whatever that picture was of being just like swept away by someone. And this is my version then, like when I was not healthy, I really felt like I had to put myself in a position where someone else would choose me for a romance and adventure, that I couldn't create it on my own, but I had to become someone attractive enough, like funny enough or smart enough that someone else with more power could choose me and invite me along to their romance and adventure. And so what that looked like when I was a teen, obviously, was like, oh, gosh, everything revolved around appearance. Everything revolved around how I looked and being like needing to be sexy, thought sexy, and being chosen by, I wanted to be hot. I thought being hot was the ticket to romance and adventure. And then where that got me was just in a lot of bad situations and a lot of broken hearts and just, you know how that goes. We all know how that goes. And then the older I got, the more I was like, okay, there's got to be, you know, maybe I can do it like through my own, like pull myself on my own bootstraps and just have a lot of money. And therefore I can, you know, pay for a romance and adventure. And it's like, then it was like all about traveling and I wanted to just go and see and do, which is awesome. I still want to go and see and do. But when I kind of had that big healing take place, and for me it was like a story of faith and conversion and like knowing, you know, just like a deeper spiritual shift happened for me. Then the romance and adventure shifted into like something that was originated from the still quiet place in my soul that sometimes expressed itself in grand gestures, like when my husband and I rendezvoused at the Trevi Fountain in Rome. And then most of the time expressed itself in just really quiet moments of like just being tender and like taking a bath with oil. It's like just like learning this like beautiful self-care and like tenderness towards self and others that kind of like I found that like the more I was able to get just quiet and centered and present, the more romance and adventure began to unfold naturally. And like opportunities would just arise for like whimsy or just like, I don't know, you know, just things would happen and it wasn't something I had to like go out and search for so hard. It was just something that naturally unfolded the more I was able to get present and be comfortable in the moment and spend more energy on looking out into the world and looking out into others and less like internally like trying to like, you know, manage myself, manage my neurosis, I guess. So maybe ask a clarifying question. I don't know, that's really vague, but.
So how did it come to be, so you started to see it sort of unfold in your own life, that the more you could be present, the more you could see that romance and adventure don't have to be this manufactured thing it's like a $12,000 tour of Italy, that they can be a smaller, simpler thing. And then when was it like, well, I have to share this with everyone else? So when did it become about, like, this is something I need to tell everyone?
Yeah. I know. I think it's part of, like, what you are if you're a writer. Like, you just have this, like, you can't help it. You just have to, like, share it with people. But also, it's just like, I don't know, sometimes I wish I could just, like, go live it. Because as you know, when you're in the middle of launching a product or something, it's like you are preaching something that, for me at least right now, like, I'm so happy I'm at this farm right now and just, like, getting restored and feeling romantic and adventurous. But last week in my own home, in my own life, I felt like the biggest hypocrite. I'm like, I'm teaching about romance and adventure, and I feel like my life is like the farthest thing from it right now. But then I remember that's like the natural thing of the way things ebb and flow, and I just need to get back to my center. And it was actually a really helpful experience to know that, like, yes, life is gonna like be this come at you in all different directions all the time, and like your magic happens when you learn how to keep coming back to the center. It's like your restart, and then you can go forward and step into the romance and adventure again. But for me, sharing it with other people, like, I had a really hard time when I was pregnant with my son. I was going to be a single mom. It was like a one-night stand with, you know, someone that I had been dating before. We broke up. He was bad news. Did lots of drugs. Had lots of fun, but not a good partner for life. Anyway, we ended up seeing each other.
Good choice breaking up with him. Okay.
Yeah, what? It was
good choice breaking up with him. The bad news.
Yeah, yep, good choice. But then we had a lot of champagne one Christmas Eve, and it was very, you know, sentimental, and we slept together, and 2 months later I found out I was pregnant. And so, I mean, at that time in my life, I was living in Santa Barbara. I was kind of going to school, but I was mostly just, like, thinking about where I could travel to next. I was, like, on an on-again, off-again relationship with this wealthy Italian man who could, you know, take me on trips, and that was like, okay, that's kind of the life I want to live. Like, this is the closest thing to romance and adventure, right? This is before, like, my healing happened and my spiritual conversion happened. And so I was just, like, searching for happiness and, like, the ways that you think, like, kind of like society, like the billboards tell you get it. You get it from, like, being married to the right person or having, you know, enough money or having the looks, whatever. So that's how my life looked. Then I got pregnant. And that changed dramatically because the people that you think want to be part of your life suddenly aren't anymore. And, you know, everything I thought about my identity was down the toilet. Like, I was like, who am I now? Like, what is this? I'm not even able to really take care of myself. How am I going to take care of another human being? I am not fit to be a mom. And all those, like, nasty voices of my youth came back about, like, shame and just I'm bad and all that stuff. So pregnancy sucked. It was really hard. I could go into detail about that whole journey. It was tough. But from that, like, after my son was born, there was just an amazing space of bliss, and, like, the rest of the world, like, was muffled out. Like, noise, it stopped for a period of time. It was like a protected space of, like, just when he was just so small, and it was just him and I. And we lived at my parents' house in, like, this little cottage that used to be, like, a garden shed. And my dad so sweetly turned it into, like, a place for us to live. But, like, anyway, those early months, it was just him and I. And, like, I felt, like, protected from the world. I felt like I was coming into, like, what really mattered and this beautiful human being. And I just wanted him to, like, believe what was really possible in terms of living a beautiful life. Like, I never wanted him to feel disqualified the way I felt, and I never wanted any mom to feel disqualified or her kids to feel disqualified. So it came from that place of being like, I just wish someone would tell me right now what I know deep down in my soul, but it would just feel so good if someone further along the path could tell me this, and they could tell me that I'll make it. They'll tell me, like, keep going in this direction, you're going to be fine. Like, I just really wanted to hear encouraging words, and because I feel like we all, like, deep down, we do know, right? Like, all of us know. Like, we're made for love. We're not made to live in fear. We're made for light. We're not made for darkness. But, like, oh, man, how nice it is when someone else who's lived through the darkness or lived through fear can call back to you and say, you know what? You're going to make it. I made it. You're going to make it. And this is how it's going to look. And it's going to be great. And it's so simple, right? But it's, like, so amazingly just... It's huge. So it's simple and huge at the same time, and that's my heart.
Yeah, no, that's
why. I created the course and created the pilgrimage, because I just want to be an encouragement to others.
Because it's a touchy word, and we're going to come back to returning to center and what that looks like for you. But so you said the word pilgrimage, and I'm all like, ah, like I'm immediately like I'm in a cloak in Jerusalem like 1,400 years ago, pilgrimage. So tell me about the choice of that word, and what does it mean to take a pilgrimage, a modern pilgrimage, and tell me about your hope for your own pilgrimage.
Yes. So pilgrimage just means a journey to a sacred center. So I think that all of us need a journey to a sacred center, to the sacred center of our being. So traditionally it's at a place, you know, like the Camino de Santiago. It's like a pilgrimage to a church. And but I think what happens on that journey is so internal. It has less to do, obviously, with the physical landscape around you and the way that, you know, what you're doing, but it has more to do with what's happening in the soul. And so I love the idea of this journey, because you experience everything on the journey, on a pilgrimage. You experience, like, beautiful stretches of the walk, and you experience the valley stretches of the walk, and you experience, like, hard times and breakthroughs. And I think a modern pilgrimage in a physical way would be, like, Cheryl Strayed's Wild. That was, I mean, something happened to her on that journey, mm-hmm. where she was different when she finished and when she started out. And I think all of us want that. We really, I mean, at a certain seasons of our life, we know we need it. And we need the dedication to something like that, because of all the noise in our life and the distraction and the things that pull us away from center and the things that can occupy, you know, in place of that journey. So we all, I mean, whether or not we're on a pilgrimage, you know, an intentional pilgrimage, we're all on a journey. Like, we know that that's life. But I think when you set aside time for an intentional going deeper into it, and I'm going to journey to a sacred center here, it's like it preserves the space and time to actually do the work. And I don't mean doing the work like you're, you know, it's like not a math problem you have to figure out, but it's actually just like showing up, getting present, going within, asking better questions of your life. Like, I feel like that's so much what I do as a guide, is just helping people ask better questions of their life, the questions that lead to breakthrough instead of, like, the same tape being played over and over again. One of those questions is, like, what if, dot, dot, dot. Like, what if, dot, dot, dot. A lot of people think of, like, worry, you know? Like, the what if, dot, dot, dot leads to, like, a spinning spiral of anxiety and worry about the future and regret about the past and all of those, like, unknowns that just cause people to, like, their stomach to, like, clench and just, like, in fear. But, like, one of the things we do on the pilgrim is learning how to ask those questions that actually open up space within us and that open up space in our lives, so the what if becomes like a catalyst for like miracles and a catalyst for whimsy and a catalyst for freedom. And it's like even just that, like having the time and the structure, you know, it's nice to have a structure sometimes so you don't have to be thinking it's like a workout routine. Like, oh my gosh, how hard is it to think about how to like show up at the gym and what you need to do? But if you just, like, step into an hour with a trainer, you're just like, okay, I'm just going to resign myself to doing whatever you tell me to do today, and I trust that it's good for me, and I trust that there'll be, you know, results on the other side. That's what I've gotten from, like, just intentional times of going within and having a guide to help me, like, through those weeks. So does that answer your question about pilgrimage, or...
Yeah, so so tell me about who needs to go on a pilgrimage, because it's going to be, so the people that need to go, I'm assuming, well, it's pretty much everyone, but are the people that are kind of the most busy and frazzled and stressed and disconnected and feel like life is just too much right now, and so how can I possibly make time for this? So how do you know that you're going to, that you need to go on any sort of pilgrimage, especially with you, Morgan Day Sissel?
I think the simplest answer is if you got quiet and if you asked yourself, like, do I feel like there's more for me? Do I feel like there's more beauty for me, more freedom for me, more ability to love and be loved? Like, that's, any answer yes to that is like, yes, okay, I need, I should carve out time for this. And the pilgrimage that I've designed, like, I know what it's like to be busy and to have a life and to have a lot of different responsibilities, like to be as a mom and a wife and a business owner and all these other things. Like, I know how hard it is to find time to do the personal internal work. So I made the pilgrimage so simple. Like, it's each week you'll get an audio lesson, and it's 30 minutes of a lesson that I'll speak over you. You can listen to when you're getting ready or in the car, and then there's workbook prompts to go with it. And I found that, like, it doesn't take hours and upon hours of, like, you know, just grueling over the self and, like, rehashing everything that you've experienced in life. Sometimes it just takes, like, one little insight and then to stay with that insight the whole week. You know, like, you don't, it's like we are so obsessed with, like, information and more and more and more. But, like, what I really care about in the pilgrimage is, like, taking one simple thing and moving it from the head into the heart so you can just actually start living it with every, like, cell of your body. So it's not, it doesn't require a lot of time. If people have 30 minutes they can find in their week, like, they'll be able to get benefit from the pilgrimage. Because really what my job, I feel like, is to help people create a safe space and preserve that space for themselves, and then to guide them into even just one insight that could break through, like, something huge for them, and they're able to just walk freer into the life they already have. Like, this is, yeah, okay.
It isn't just that it's one more thing to do. It's that there's more to feel and discover. And if you're like, I don't give a shit about this pilgrimage, like, fine, but go and find something that triggers that feeling of feeling and discovering in you. That's like, oh,
yes,
this is interesting. This is like, you intuitively,
yes,
reach for this book on the shelf. Like, go read that book. Make the time.
Exactly. I think people, like, just like, sometimes this will help people that need, you know, but if you just have any, just like follow what lights you up. You can trust what lights you up. And then make time for it. Just, like, make the small commitment, like, 5 minutes a day to read T.S. Eliot, because T.S. Eliot makes you feel just, like, life is mysterious and beautiful and all of that. Like, just find that thing that gives you, brings you back to your center, that helps you slow down, that literally slows down your breathing, and so that you can be present and see what actually is in front of you, to notice again your life. And my yoga teacher that I had has this quote that I use all the time. And she says, all love begins and ends in the act of paying attention. And I love that. Like, just that idea that, like, if I'm ever feeling without or I'm feeling the lack, all I need to do is come back to paying attention to what is right now. And all of a sudden, like, what I need opens up before me. It's really so simple, but it requires that, like, okay, I value this. This is so much more than it seems, this slowing down, this paying attention thing. I believe that there's so much parts of us more than just our intellect. And I, of course, I love the intellect. I love ideas. I love information. But we have, like, really, like, worked that muscle of our being. Like, we have really big intellects, and we like information and knowledge. But there's so many other parts of us that, like, are brilliant and can guide us and are really made to lead us, but we just haven't let them kind of step forward or have it at equal seat at the table. Like, the head of the table is definitely the brain, where maybe, like, we could let the heart be the head of the table for a while, or the spirit, and then see how our life could shift. And it's not a matter of, like, placing one part of ourselves above the other, but learning how to be, like, integrated and whole. And yeah, seeing what comes, for me, like, when I've, the more I've done that, the more I've kind of gathered the scattered pieces of my life and then let my heart speak, I have found that, like, the things that I really want and, like, the feelings that I really want to feel, like, there's more room for them to breathe. And it, things happen so much more naturally. I don't have to force things or white knuckle things. It just begins to unfold because it was made to unfold that way.
That's so lovely. So the natural side effect of listening to Morgan for me is that, like, my breath gets, like, longer and deeper and slower, and my chest feels lighter. I imagine that that's happening for you as well as you're listening, lovely person. So if you are like, well, I don't know, like when's the last time you let your heart lead or your spirit lead? And if you're like, that's a luxury, that's just stupid. I can't, that means that it's been way too long. more quickly you shut that down, the more it's like, oh God, okay. Morgan is currently rounding people up for the Romance and Adventure Pilgrimage, which starts any day now. And so
May 30th.
If you're listening, May 30th, which is very soon. So if you're interested and you're listening, there's a link in the podcast notes. If you're on the podcast app, you can just magically click and it'll take you there. And even if you're not interested, I encourage you to find those things that feed your heart and spirit and let I love the metaphor of just of like the brain is always at the head of the table and just let something else lead. It doesn't even matter what. It's like your body, fine, like go run.
Let the body lead, totally. Yes, that's a good, do that. Do that often.
Yeah, do any of those things. So I know that I tend to give really kind of hardcore business advice. And so the other side of it is like, what if we let the heart and the spirit and the body, any of those elements lead? What would that look like and where would that take you? And the answer is that it's not going to make your to-do list longer. It's just going to take you into a deeper and fuller life. And I think Morgan is, like, incredibly qualified to take you there and to provide insight into where you're going.
Thank you. I think so if I about the business stuff, can I say real something about the business stuff? Just, like, what I found in my own life. I think, at least for me as a business owner, like, what gets me stuck the most sometimes is lack of clarity. Like just lack of, there's so much that could be done. If you own your own business and you're wearing like a zillion hats, you're like marketer, you're a salesperson, you're, you know, product designer, you're everything. So much of like for me that gets me stuck is just like, I don't even know what is the next right thing to do. And that's when I know that I need to get out of my head and let something else start to lead me because there's an intuition and a brilliance that I'm not tapping into because I'm in to-do list mode and I am in production mode. And I've found that, like, kind of like the way presents itself, like that, you know, it's kind of like Zen Buddhist. It's like when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And the student becomes ready in ourselves, like we are the student and we are the teacher. And it opens up to us, like, from, like, what we need to do, like, next in our business to make it more profitable, to make it more successful, to make it what we want it to be. Happens, I feel, when we're able to get clear. And how do we get clear? I think it really requires our head and our heart and our mind to be aligned and our body. So, I don't know. If people want a justification why they should do the pilgrimage to help their business, I feel like it's about the clarity.
No, I love that. But there's something to be said for if you just push the business pieces and then ignore all the other pieces of your life will just fall apart, and the more you ignore it, the more spectacularly it will fall apart.
Yes.
You could go for like a slight falling apart versus like, oh, the whole thing collapsed. And so if I want to go and stalk you and your lovely work, where do I go? Where do I visit? Help me find you on the internet.
Okay. If you are an Instagram type, then you can find me on Instagram at Morgan De Cecil. Or at Romance and Adventure. And if you are into yoga, other stuff like that, or just writing, you can find me on my blog, morgandececil.com. And, I'm not much into Facebook. I'm really bad at Facebook and Twitter, all that. It's just like picture my dad's like tags me in pictures, and my dad has a conversation with me on Facebook, and that's about it. But Instagram, I love curating. You know, I feel like Instagram can be a place where you curate your life, and it's like you can be real, but you can also create beauty and share beauty with others. And so, find me there. Find me on my blog. Call me on the phone. Just kidding. I'm not very good at talking on the phone.
Facebook you. Fantastic. And I will have magical links in the show notes to help people find you and track you down and talk about romance and adventure with you because it's always fascinating.
Thank you.
I'm gonna wrap up and stop recording, but I want to thank you again for showing up and being your lovely, wholehearted self.
It was so much fun. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you.
You're
Thank you
welcome.
All who are listening.